You have your Bible, turn with us tonight to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. In verse 3, the Bible says, "For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." I want to continue tonight looking in a theme that we've been looking at for the last few Wednesday nights on the theological conviction. That's God's study and the conviction that it brings, or that convincing that it brings our heart. How it convinces us that what God's telling us, it's real, amen? It's real, it's true, it's indisputable, amen? We can't argue with it. We can't deny it. Amen. God's Word is real, and it's really real to our hearts. And now as we've looked at this, we've seen that the first Wednesday night, we looked at God's love, how He loves us in a mighty and a godly way. Amen. God loves all of mankind. And then last week, we looked at how God loves us even though that we're sinful. That man is sinful. That's our nature. That's who we are. That's what we do. But God still loves us in our sinfulness. That separates us from God. Amen. God loves us even when we're sinners. Praise the Lord. Amen. He still loves us. But tonight I want to look for just a little while, if God will be our help, on Jesus Christ, mankind's only hope of salvation. Jesus Christ, mankind's only hope of salvation. Now, I know there's a lot of people today that would argue that with you. A lot of people say, "Well, preacher, you know, there's a lot of ways to get to heaven. There's many ways to get to heaven." I beg to differ, because God says that there's only one way to get to heaven. And He said that's through Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Outside of Him, praise God, you're going to be left out. If you plan on getting in any other way, well, then you've got a rude awakening to come. The Bible teaches, especially in the New Testament, it teaches us the things of Christ. It teaches us what God had to put His Son through in order for us to have salvation. Jesus had to go through some things. God had to allow some things to take place in His beloved Son so that we could go free. Number one, He had to come to earth and be manifest in the flesh, born of a virgin. Amen. That's who Jesus is. Amen. Hey, praise God. When people start talking about their Savior, talking about your way to heaven, tell them that the only way to heaven is through a man that was virgin born, praise God, and was manifest in the flesh. He was God Almighty in flesh. He came and was born in a stable in a little town called Bethlehem. Praise God. And He grew up in the flesh and lived in a life, and a body and alive, just like me and you living today, praise God. But it was a sinless body without spot or blemish or any such thing. He was God Almighty in the flesh, praise God. And he come from the throne of grace, set aside His glory, and came down to where we are. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Only one way. The Bible said that Jesus came, and He came to an old Roman cross. Amen. Came to an old Roman cross, and He paid the penalty of our sins. Amen. Did you hear that? The penalty of our sins. That's what Jesus paid. That's what He did when He came to that old rounded, rugged cross. I want to say the Father knew from the beginning. Amen. When they sat down to make a plan of this universe, a plan for man, and they seen the fall, and Jesus said, "Father," He said, "What the?" He said, "How are we going to fix this?" And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, they said, "Hey, the Son will go." Amen. It didn't catch God by surprise when man sinned in the garden. Amen. It didn't catch the Son by surprise when man sinned in the garden. It didn't catch the Holy Ghost by surprise when man sinned in the garden. They knew that man was apt to sin. Amen. But God sent His Son, praise God. He sent Him down to pay the penalty of our sins. He sent Him down to die in our place. Now, I'm just being straight up with you now. That's what Jesus had to do to become the way for us to go up, for us to sin up to the Father. There was two reasons that He died. He died, number one, to rescue me and you from hell. Amen. There was a place called hell. It was designed for Satan and his demons. And Jesus said, I'll go and be the price of sin so that they won't have to go there. Amen. Ain't you glad He did? Amen. Glory to God. If He hadn't have been, we could have been in hell tonight. But praise be to God. Jesus came and He died on the cross, the Calvary, that old cruel Roman cross, so that we could go free from the penalty of sin. Amen. Jesus done that for me. Praise the Lord. I tell you, you can't brag on Jesus enough. Amen. Glory be to God. Without Jesus, praise God, we are nothing. We have no hope. We are a hopeless people. People without Christ Jesus are hopeless tonight. They have no hope. But I thank God, praise God, that I have hope. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. But Jesus came. He came to rescue us from a place called hell. Amen. He came to pay sin's debt, sin's penalty, praise God, so that we could go free, so we wouldn't have to go to hell. Hey, listen, I'm not going to hell. I think we ought to be the shoutingest people in the world. Amen. If you're saved tonight, glory be God, you ought to raise your hand and say, hallelujah to God. I don't have to go to hell. Amen. I've been made fireproof, praise God, by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Glory to God. I'm free, praise God, from that burden of sin. My Savior, I paid the price for me. Boy, I'd like to take me a lap. Praise God tonight. I'm glad He saved my soul. And I'm glad He died so I don't have to go to hell. I don't worry about hell no more. Amen. I think about hell a lot. I think about those people that's going. I think about those people that's already been there, are already there. I think about that poor old rich man. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus told about him dying and going to hell. And guess what? He's still there. Suffering, tormented in the flames. He'll be there throughout all eternity. Only hope of reprieve, he's God's when he's brought out and judged the great white throne and cast into the lake of fire. He's just going to come one out of fire and go into another. God help. Praise God, but I thank God I've been made fireproof. Amen. So he came to die so that he could rescue us from hell. Number two, he came to restore us to a right relationship with God. Amen. Did you get that? A right relationship with God. He came to restore us to a right relationship with the Father on high. Amen. Because sin alienates you from God. That's why God has me preach so much on sin. Amen. Sin is an alienator. It alienates you from God. It alienates you from your family. It'll alienate you from your church. It'll alienate you from everybody that's around you. Sin will alienate you. It's what He does. Amen. Sin will alienate you from everything. But sin mainly, it'll alienate you from God. You say, well, preacher, a little bit of sin won't hurt. Hey, God don't... God's that. There's no sin in the presence of God. Amen? If we're living in sin, if we got sin in our life, then we're alienated from God. You say, well, that means we're lost. No, but it means we've broken that fellowship. You can't have good, solid fellowship with God and have sin in your life. It don't work. Amen. But praise be to God, when we get pure and clean, praise God, under the blood, and we confess our sins. Now I won't say, praise God, it's still good to confess your sin. Hey, old Brother Dean Owens was preaching down there Monday night, and he said, you know what? He said, people say you don't have to confess your sin, you don't have to repent. But he said, I've repented more since I got saved than I did before I was saved. Amen. Amen. Before I was saved, praise God, I know what he's talking about. Hey, before I was saved, I didn't know I needed to repent. Hello? Amen? You know what's wrong with a bunch of these jokers today that's saying you don't need to repent? Praise God, they're lost. Amen. They don't want to admit they're sinners. Amen? I told you last week, praise God, we're just old sinners. And when we begin to confess our sins, the Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity. Whoopee! Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad of that? All iniquity. He wiped them, cast them as far as the sea, the east as from the west, into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered no more. Not that he couldn't remember them, but praise be to God, when you repent of your sins with a broken heart because you broke the heart of God, hey God, praise God, he cast those things in and he chooses not to remember them no more. You know, your own mind can't even do that. But praise God. Now just think about it. The mind of God can. He can choose not to remember that against you no more. You know how he does that? He just applies the blood. Amen. He applies the blood, praise God. When you apply that blood, glory be to God, there ain't no sin left behind. Praise be to God. That's what he does. So we see here through the Bible, through the teaching here, that not only that he died, praise God, in the Word of God, I just read it in your hearing, but not only that he died, but he arose. And because he rose, praise God, tonight, we've got that blessed hope that we can rise up to. Because just like our Savior, he got up from the grave, victorious over death and hell, praise God. And he went up with for 40 days, and he ascended up on high. Amen. To sit down at the right hand of the Father. Amen. Glory to God. Ain't you glad tonight that you got it up with the Father? Amen. Somebody's on your side. Somebody, glory to God, tonight is pleading your case. Amen. You know what makes it good? When you come with a humble heart, broken heart, a contrite spirit before a holy God, and you say, Lord, forgive me, an old sinner. I mean, you mean that from your heart. And boy, you know what God the Son does? God the Holy Spirit grabs that and he runs to the throne of grace. And God the Son says, I heard that. Woo, glory. And he says, Father, it's one of your little youngins. He's pleading the blood. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I like it, man. Praise the Lord. I have an advocate with the Father. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father on high to make intercession for me. Amen. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that because we know that. Because we have an advocate of the Father. Because we had a mediator of one, which is Christ Jesus, the righteous. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father for me and you. Because of that, it's proof, praise God, that he's the only way to get to heaven. Amen. 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 You say, well, preacher, you sure you mean you don't think there's other ways? There is no other way. Amen. Amen. You say, well, what about Muhammad or Buddha? You tell me, hey, can one of them get a hold of the throne of grace? Can they go into a presence of a holy God? I think not. They're just men, praise God, that were sinners just like me and you, who died, praise God, and were buried. They never got up, praise God. Amen. Amen. My hope ain't in them. My hope ain't in Muhammad. It ain't in Buddha. It ain't in the Pope. Amen. My hope is in Christ Jesus. Amen. The one that got up for me. Ain't nobody else got up for me but Jesus. Amen. Praise God. It's kind of like that day old Stephen when they was rocking him to sleep. Amen. About the time he hit his knees, his eyes went up to glory. And he said, no, not. He said, hey, don't call them accountable for this. And praise God, the sevens was opened up and Jesus was sitting at the right hand far high and he stood up and he said, son, come on home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Paul seen that and it stirred him to the depths of his soul. He ain't been the same since. Amen? Paul seen that. Seen old Stephen looking up into the portals of glory. Amen. As he was being stoned and rocked to death. Amen. By them old heathens. And praise God, he looked up to glory and he said, don't hold this to their charge. And he said, hey, just forgive them, Lord. He said, cause I do. He said, hey, he said, just say, hey, Stephen, he said, you just come on to glory. Amen. Well, what are you saying? I'm saying we have proof that he's the only way. I have theological conviction. I'm convinced, praise God. There's nobody, no man, woman, boy, girl, not the president of the Pope, praise God, or anybody else is going to tell me that there's any other way. Amen. I'm convinced. Why? Because God said it. If God said it, praise God, I believe it. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, look over in Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. The Bible says this. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, for when we were yet without strength. Now, I want you to get this. Now, Paul's painting a picture to the Romans here of me and you when we were helpless. Amen? Do you remember that day that you were helpless in sin? Amen. I mean, you couldn't help yourself. Sin was just rampant in your life. If we ain't careful, praise God, this flesh will overwhelm us and we'll get there again. I'm like Miss Susie. I need church about every day. Amen. Keep me close to the Lord. I got to get somewhere where I can get a hold of God every day. But he says in Romans chapter 5, verse 64, when we were yet without strength, in due time, now it means when the time was right, don't you like that? When the time's right, Christ died for the ungodly. Amen. Now that's good stuff. For when we were yet without strength, in other words, we were helpless, but when God seen it, it was all right. You know, that's what he does for old sinners. He comes along, praise God, when we get to the end of ourselves and we realize that self ain't a helping us none, that the world ain't a helping us none, the physicians and the doctors ain't a helping us none, mom and daddy can't help us none, the world can't help us none, and we come to the end of ourselves, right like that prodigal at the pig pen, and we throw down the pail, hit the rail, and we run back, praise God, to Lord Jesus Christ, and we fall at his feet, and we cry out for mercy, praise God, God begins to move in us, and it's just right time, he comes into your heart, he begins to convict your soul, show you you're just no sorry stinking rascal in need of a Savior. Amen. Amen. And allows you to be saved. Verse 7 says, for scarcely for a righteous man, now listen to this, will one die, but yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But now notice verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, now get this, Christ died for us. So he said, but God. He said, now we were out without strength, but at the right time, Jesus died for the ungodly. That was me and you. And he said, but God commendeth his love. Amen. In other words, what it's talking about here, Paul's saying, is God gave us a demonstration of his love. Glory to God. God demonstrated to me and you how much he loves us. He demonstrated to me how much he cares for us. He demonstrated, praise God, that he was God Almighty. And praise God, that he was a saving God and a loving God and a compassionate God and a God of mercy. Amen. Said he demonstrated to us. Commendeth his love. Put it down where we could see it. Put it down where we could feel it. Put it down where we could realize it. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's love. Amen. He commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Amen. When I was still that old wretched worm of a man. Amen. When you were still that old wretched worm of a man, amen, said while you was there, praise God, that God commended his love to you. He showed you his love. He demonstrated his love. Praise God, when I was still that old wretched worm of a man, I was feeding on the putrefied things and was under the barrel. That's where I was. That's where this man was. I was feeding on the putrefied junk from under the barrel and the things of this world. When God Almighty come into my soul and he told me that he loved me and he saved me by his marvelous grace. Man, I was eating on that vile stuff. That old sorry, rotten stuff of the world. No account junk. I thought, boy, I'm somebody. I'm making my own way. I'm doing my own thing. God, the old God of this world had me so deceived, just like most people today. Amen. He's got them under that old barrel of the world, and they're eating that old putrefied, rotten mess of the world, and they're liking it. They think, man, this is the stuff. This is good stuff, man. It satisfies me for about that long. Yeah. For just about that long, it satisfies you. And praise God, then you'll be wanting more, a lot more than you ever was before. Amen. You'll not be satisfied by that mess. There's nothing there to satisfy. But God Almighty, in his marvelous grace, while we were yet sinners, while we were yet ungodly, came to where we was at and got us out of that putrefied mess and set our feet upon a solid rock. Amen. Gave us a Savior which is Christ Jesus the Lord. Amen. Demonstrated His love toward us. Amen. In other words, in our direction. We weren't looking for it. We weren't going to and fro hunting for it. As Brother Robert said a while ago, you know, there's a lot of people running around the world. They're looking for truth. Sometimes we just got to stand still and see it. Amen. We'll run around all over the world trying to find truth. But praise God, if we'll just stand still and listen to God, hey, praise God, He'll reveal it. Amen. Right on time. He said, here in due time, right on time. Amen. He'll reveal it. Romans 6:23 said, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. See, the world, about two-thirds of the world tonight, they're underneath that barrel, partaking of those old putrefied things, those old rotten things of the world, those old vile and wicked things that can't do nothing but harm and break down and tear up. You said, no, preacher, them's good for us. Really? Why are we in the shape we're in? Why are you in the shape you're in? Because we're partaking this old putrefied mess of the world, God, instead of the good things of God. Amen? Because that sin nature that we inherited from our forefathers, it's been passed down to us, youngins. And praise be to God, there's one that come along, and His name is Jesus. He broke those chains of sin, praise God. He went to the very throne of grace, stretched out His arm, praise God. He bridged the way, amen, from sin to glory for me and you on that cross of Calvary. Praise be to God, the wage of sin is death. But the Bible says, but the gift of God. Ain't you glad God seen fit that when the wage of sin was prominent, it was way in heaven on me and you. Praise God, it seemed like there was no way to get out from under that barrel. Seemed like we was going to have to eat those old putrefied, filthy mess all of our life. Praise God, but God. Well, I tell you what, I praise God forever, but God, in the Word of God. Don't you? But God. Just about the time I thought that wicked mess had me, was going to drag me down in the pit of hell. Praise God, but God came along. And He began to demonstrate His gift. Amen. He said, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is, now get this, is eternal life. The gift that God has to give you is eternal life. Life eternal. Life without end. Amen. And you get it through being real good and trying to work real hard. No, he says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? He said, it's not about you trying to be good. You ought to be good. The best we can be with the help of the Lord. But he said, it's not about us being good. It's not about how much we can do. It's not about how much we work for Jesus, although we should. But he said, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, we're saved. He said, we received the gift, praise God, the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen. Through the Lord Jesus Christ. So how do you know that? Because he became that living sacrifice for sin. Amen. You know, remember Hebrew, that new and that living way that he made. Let me show you that. Look at Hebrews chapter 9. See if I can find it right quick. Let me just read you a couple verses there. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. He talks about this new and living way that Christ gave us. Amen. Because he said, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11, the Bible says, but Christ, being come a high priest of all of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Amen. He said, hey, listen, what Jesus is, so He ain't of this creation that you're living in. Jesus, praise God, He's out of this world. Amen. Jesus is out of this world, praise God. Always has been and always will be. When the hippies is going around saying, man, that's out of this world. Amen. They didn't have nothing on Jesus. Amen. Amen. When they was running around with their little peace symbol, which is actually a broken crow's foot, saying that they're going to worship the devil and they're going to reject Christ. Amen. They're not going to do what's right. Amen. Say amen on me. When they were saying that, praise God, I want to say that Jesus Christ, He was the one that was always out of this world. He was the one that they could have looked to, praise God, for salvation. But he goes on, verse 12, says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place. Now listen to this. Having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now I want you to get a hold of this tonight. I got a reading this, and I got a hold of this, and it got a hold of me. It's kind of like Psalms 118. Amen. It got a hold of me in a way, praise God, I can't get away from. And he said that he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Now you know what that word obtain means? That means to take possession. Amen. He took, praise God, when he rose up victorious over death and hell, praise God, he took possession of redemption. He took possession of the redeemed. Praise God, what are you saying? I'm saying if you've been saved tonight, you belong to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You've been paid for, praise God. Paid in full, glory to God. Amen. Bless His holy name. What a blessing. Obtain eternal redemption. That don't mean you're going to be bought and paid for tomorrow, Brother Dean. And today you're going to be put back on the auction block. Hello? Amen? It means you're going to be redeemed. Praise God, He bought you, prayed for you one time. Amen. Man, in other words, He's got the title deed. He owns you, praise God. Praise the Lord. He said, for if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctify to the purifying of the flesh. Now what he's saying here, if that sprinkling of blood, that offering, that sacrifice of blood of these animals could sanctify or set aside the flesh, could purify the flesh, push back sin for a little bit. He said, how much more shall the blood of Christ, now listen to this, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God. Now listen to this. Purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Amen. He said, how much more if the blood of lambs and calves and goats, praise God, could cleanse you for a little while. He said, how much more could the precious pure blood of Jesus cleanse you forever, praise God. Amen. Boy, I'd like to take a spell. Whoopee! I'm telling you tonight, praise God, we've got a once for all Savior. He's the only way tonight. Who else done that for me and you? Nobody. Nobody could. Amen. He said, and for this cause, He is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Amen. The promise that you might receive, the promise. Did you know, praise God, if you're a child of God, that you've got an eternal inheritance laid up for you? Peter says it's kept in store for you. You know what that means? That means it's guarded by God. Nobody get that booger. Amen. It's kept for you. We've got an inheritance with the Lord. I just want to give you that, praise God. What a blessing. Amen. Just to know that God Almighty is real tonight and He is the only way. The Lord Jesus Christ, He's our only hope of salvation. Only way. I know we're living. You say, well, preacher, we know that. Why are you telling us that? Because we need to know, praise God, so when these lunatics start coming out and trying to say, hey, listen, there's another way. When they start telling our children there's another way, we need to be telling, hey, listen, there's no other way but Jesus and the blood that He shed on Calvary. See, a lot of people today say, well, the blood don't matter. Said if he could have went on that cross and he could have died and not shed a drop of blood and it wouldn't have mattered. Bible says without shedding of blood is no remission. Amen. Without that shedding of blood, they wouldn't have been no putting away sins. They wouldn't have been no getting rid of the sins. Amen. If them little old animals hadn't have shed their blood, if they hadn't have shed their blood and they hadn't offered it up before God. Amen. As a sacrifice, a blood sacrifice. It takes a blood sacrifice to get rid of sins. Amen. Jesus was that sacrifice. Bless His holy name. So we see in the Word of God tonight that mankind, his only hope for salvation is Lord Jesus Christ. The only way, the only hope we have of getting to heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible here gives us the truth that we may know. How can we know the truth? How can we know the promise? We have to study the Word of God. We study the Word of God and God begins to reveal those things to us, begins to give them to us. See, God don't mean for us to be in the dark. Amen? Paul keeps telling us that we're not supposed to be ignorant, brethren. Amen? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. I believe we're living in the day, praise God, of the ignorant brethren. We don't want to know. Say, well, preacher, if I don't know all that stuff, God won't expect so much of me. You got a rude awakening coming. Amen. God expects you to read, study His Word. God expects, how do you know? Because He expects you. The church is the bride of Christ. And praise God, we're supposed to learn and know our spouse. Remember what Peter told us about our spouse, men? He said we're supposed to know our wives according to knowledge. Or in other words, in an understanding way. God expects us to know Him in an understanding way. Amen. We're supposed to understand God. We don't know the mind of God. We can't. I don't. You won't. We can't. But praise God, we're supposed to understand, praise God, that God loves us and He wants to take care of us and He wants to show us something. He wants to be a help to us. I want to say, praise God, God will never be a hindrance to you. He never will. God will always be a help to you if you'll let Him. But what? We need to know the truth, and the only place we get truth is from the Word of God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29. Now, we've done covered some of these verses, but I just want to show you tonight for just a minute. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12. Jeremiah 29, verse 12, the Bible says, "Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you." But now listen to what he says in verse 13. He said, "But and ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places where I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place which I caused you to be carried away captive." Amen. He said, I'll begin to give you the knowledge and the understanding. He said, I'll begin to show you things, and I'll bring you back from that place of captivity that you've been, that place of sin, that place of wickedness in your life, that place of a destitution. He said, I'll bring you back unto myself. Amen. But he said, you're going to have to call on me, and you're going to have to seek me. And said, when you call and you seek, praise God, he said, then you'll find. Amen. You know what's wrong with America today? You know what's wrong with America's churches today? We're not calling and we're not seeking and we're not finding. Amen. But when we begin to call and we begin to seek, praise God, then we'll begin to find. You say, well, preacher, there's some things I just like to know and I just don't know, I don't understand. Well, then we need to ask God. In Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3, the Bible says, "Call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Remember we preached on that, the great and mighty things here a while back? Amen. The things that we don't know, the reason we don't know them, because we don't ask. Amen. Hey, if we ever get to seeking God, and we get to realize that Jesus is the only hope of salvation, and we need to seek Him, and we need to find Him, and when we find Him, He'll give us the wisdom that we need. Amen. He'll give us the knowledge, praise God, to do right. He'll give us the knowledge to live a life of victory. Why do we want to stay in defeat when God says, I've got victory? Amen. There's victory, and we sing it all the time, victory in Jesus. Amen. Raise your hand and say, "Woo!" I don't know if we believe it in our heart or not. Victory, we have victory in Jesus. If we just begin to seek Him and ask Him, praise God, and begin to call upon Him and said He'd answer. He'd give us the answers that we need. Amen. So if we need to know something, you need anything, you need to know something from God, ask Him. Amen? You need to know something, ask Him. You need something from God, you need something from God, just seek it. Amen? Begin to look for it. Look over Matthew chapter 7. I'm going to quit in a minute. I'm about done. Matthew chapter 7, he said, if there's something that you need from God, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, he says, "Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Amen. Why don't we get close to God? Why don't we get the things we need? Why don't we have a relationship that we desire of God? Because we're not asking. Amen. We're not knocking. We're not seeking and we're not knocking. We get the asking God. We get the seeking from God. We get the knocking on the throne of God. Praise God. On the throne, and we start to asking and seeking and knocking. Praise God. He said, then you begin to have those things. He said, you ask and you'll receive. He said, you seek and you find. And he said, when you begin to knock, praise God, it's open to you. Have you ever had doors that were closed to you? So you needed to get in somewhere. You needed to, you know, to do something, but you just couldn't get in. You ever had that? I've had that before. I have it all the time at work. You go over there and you got to go to another building to get something. You go over there and they've locked the door and the key don't fit. You don't have a key that fits. And we're sprawled out all down the river. Okay? So then you gotta hoof it all the way back to the main building, go through the key cabinet, get the key to the right door to go back and get into what you need. But God says if we come and we ask Him something, from the earnest of our heart, and we seek His will in it. Hello? We seek His will in it. We keep knocking, praise God. He said, He'll open. He'll open for it. Amen. He may not open the door that we think we don't want to go, but He knows what we need. He'll open the door that we need to go through. Amen. Amen. Sometimes, I tell you what, I thank God for some doors that He's left closed. I've had some situations in my life, praise God, I was a beating on a door trying to get in, thought that's where I ought to be. And you know what? God wouldn't let me in. And I say, praise God, I'm glad He didn't. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank God for those doors He didn't open. Amen. The prayers that He didn't answer. Amen. You ever prayed some prayers or something that you thought you wanted, something you thought you needed? Amen. Come find out you didn't really want that anyway. Amen. It would have been more harm than good. See, God knows these things. But if we need something from Him and we begin to knock and we begin to seek, He said, we can find some things. Amen? When we realize, praise God, it all comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He's that hope that we have, that salvation that we have, that help that we have. It comes to the Lord Jesus Christ.